الحمد لله رب العالمين وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى.
مقصدك جوهر.
أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واذكر ربك في نفسك تضرعا وخيفة ودون الجهر من القلوب من القول والغلو والآصال ولا تكن من الغافلين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. الحمد لله الله سبحانه وتعالى has blessed us once again to be here to fulfill our obligations towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the past few weeks we are talking about a speech, a topic, a hadith that we all are very familiar with. However, even though you may be familiar with something, it does not mean you will follow that something you are familiar with. And in examining this given speech of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, known as the farewell speech, we have come to realize that the content of it, the words of it, is not only, we believe, inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but if you look at its general content, even if you take away the word Islam, we take away the word religion, and we look at the speech for what it is, it is sufficient to change a person's life. Known as the farewell speech, the final speech of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And by the way, as we said, the final speech of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Hujjatul Wida, is not really the final word of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It took place approximately a year before he passed away. But because it was so comprehensive, it was so clear, not that to say his other words were not clear, they also were clear, but because of the clarity of it, the content of it, the somewhat detail of it, the explanation of it, the clarity of it, it became known as the farewell speech. See, my brothers and sisters, as we get old, we want to leave behind something good for our children. Therefore, as we get old, you'll say things like, be nice to your mother when I'm not here. Make sure that the inheritance gets distributed the proper way. Continue to buy the groceries of this given store and not that store, because we know the people of this store and not that store. After I am gone, your mother still wants to go for Hajj. Make sure she goes with so-and-so as opposed to so-and-so. These are things that we say because the one that we love, we want them to be happy even after we are gone. That's one of the definitions of love, that you will wish them well while they are alive, and you will wish them well even if you're not present. That's human nature. Whereas when it comes to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you'll see that Allah has placed a lot of restrictions on them. They don't take zakat, for example. When they leave things behind as far as the inheritance is concerned, it really doesn't exist from a worldly point of view. And when a prophet leaves something behind, he leaves something for the entire ummah. That means not just his family can benefit, the entire ummah is to benefit. So as far as the farewell speech is concerned, in actuality it is an inheritance. It is something that is beyond wealth that is given to you and I. So continuing from where we left off last week, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one of the final words we mentioned was where he spoke about the evil of interest and how bad interest is and how riba is something we should not even go close to under optimal conditions. Yes, we understand that sometimes a person may be forced to go into riba. We understand that sometimes a person may not be able to get charity and may be forced to use the credit card and pay interest on it. My brothers and sisters in Islam, it is your duty, It is my duty, it is our duty to look for people that are poor that we can help out. Just because people tell us the government gives aid, everybody doesn't just get that aid. Sometimes there is a waiting period for that aid. Sometimes that aid may not be consistent with their values, so they may not take certain aid. It is our duty as Muslims to look for people that we can give our help towards. Because when we help others, in reality, we are helping ourselves. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, as far as riba is concerned, and look how beautifully he said it. Brilliant. He said, if you took part in riba transactions, that means, let's say you took a loan for $100 and you have to pay back 110. Rasulullah ﷺ said, the 100 you will pay back, but that 10 is forgiven, now you move on. This is Islam. It didn't say don't pay the amount. And this is where I have a problem with our current Muslim brothers and sisters. The problem we have with them is that they leave their given countries and they come to America, and this is what they say. They say the country we came from, America is abusing our country. That's what they say. Now these are people that want best of both worlds. They say America is abusing our countries, so we can come to America, use the credit card, take out loans, take out business loans, everything, you name it, thereafter file bankruptcy because America is taking from our countries abroad. I've never, even a person who has 1 ounce of intelligence knows, there is a lot of flaws in this type of thinking. Now I can understand the people overseas doing that. I'm not justifying anyone to do this. They can say, well, America is doing drone attacks. America is came to give us foreign aid, but in reality, the food is going to the wrong places. They are selling those food in the market. One brother was saying, sometimes the medicine goes from here. Instead of it being distributed, there are certain officials, maybe from the military, etc., that will take that medication and thereafter sell it in the market and make money off it. So if they say, for example, they want to get back at the American system, I'm not justifying, but I can at least say, okay, fine, maybe you have some plausible argument. But you and I, and that is what Rasulullah is talking about, doing all these corrupt things, wrongful bankruptcies, not paying back the system, creating fraud, all that is haram and it is forbidden. The least you can do is pay back the amount you owe. That's what the hadith is saying. And my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, another very important thing. Okay, you took a loan, you don't want to pay back. I understand that. But you fed your children from that. How do you expect your child thereafter to perform salah? How do you expect your child to respect you? How do you expect your child to be good to you? How do you expect your child to listen to you? When that child knows full well, daddy and mommy are not listening to Allah, why must I listen to daddy and mommy? If mommy and daddy are feeding me an innocent child that cannot go to work, haram, why must I listen to their parents? Now they don't tell you in this manner, but children are not that silly. You know that joke where they say, where somebody knocks on the door and the father tells the child, tell them I'm not home. So the child opens the door and says, my daddy said he's not home. This is reality. This is what is coming down to. Later the child is going to think, that person out there is also going to think, what's going on in this family? Because, as I mentioned before, and I'll say it again, my brothers and sisters, nobody learns through speeches. Or very little learning is done through speeches. Look at student retention rate of data. It is very minimal. It only increases when a person writes down that data. And it only increases when they review that data. And it only increases when they're going to be examined on the data. And it only increases when there is a board exam later in life regarding the data. Otherwise, you're not going to remember any speech. You remember certain lines, but you're not going to remember the entire speech. Whatever speech, any sheikh, anyone. So then the question comes about, how do we create a change in the life of our children? Because they're not going to remember what we tell them. They learn because of the actions they see. Understand this well. You're going to tell them be nice, they're not going to listen. Because everyone uses the word be nice. But what makes them listen to you is how you behave. You tell them to be honest, and you be honest. Yes, officer, I was way over the speed limit. I am sorry. Not no, officer, I don't know what I was doing. But that child is learning now how to lie like you. And he's going to become better at that. He's going to lie to the officer and he's going to lie to you later on. So that's what our Rasulullah is saying. That get away from riba transactions. Get away from excess. Live on halal. And the implications will also be halal. Thereafter, the hadith was introduced by saying, beware of shaitan for the safety of your religion. What he says, be aware, be cognizant of shaitan. Understand, shaitan has a ploy. He wants to get you. He doesn't care who you are. Don't think because you're religious, he's not going to get you. Or because you're away from religion, he doesn't care for you. Shaitan cares to get everyone. He only takes you on the next level. Regarding your haram, regarding your evil. He will push you to the maximum. One to the next. So the hadith says, the famous speech hadith says, beware of shaitan for the safety, in other words, safety and security of your religion. And as far as shaitan is concerned, he will not be able to lead you astray in big things. So beware of the small things. It's very clear. Normally, we say go for the jugular. What is the hadith saying? Shaitan doesn't go for the jugular. He goes gradually. First, what he does, he gets you to the masjid, but he tells you, don't perform the extra salah with it. Just do farad. Because Allah says, 5 daily salah. You see what's happening? So slowly you let go of the farad. I mean, you let go of the nafil, the extra. And you only focus on the farad. Slowly, slowly, now you get later and later for salah. Then you miss the first rakah. Then you miss the second rakah. Then salah with jama'ah is gone. Then you're performing at home. Shaitan plays a game. I'm performing at home because I must remind my family. Okay, remind your family. First day, you remind your family. Second day, that gets less. Third day, no salah in the home. Then shaitan plays another game. There are bigger things out there to worry about. Global peace. And all those environmental issues taking place. Now you start worrying. Remember, shaitan goes, he chips away slowly. He doesn't just say, no salah. He gets you slowly, away, away, away. And before you know it, you are asking, what is salah? As I mentioned, there are people that I met, came to America 20, 30 years ago. They came in a masjid, they just stood with their hand in awe. They did not even know how to perform salah. These were children born in Muslim homes, performing salah all the time. Because once you chip away, chip away, chip away, it's gone in the end. That's what the hadith is saying, that as far as shaitan is concerned, he won't let you go off on big things. He will get you on the small things, which will lead you eventually to the big things. Thereafter, Rasulullah said at the end of this hadith, O people, is it true that you have certain rights regarding your woman? In other words, you have rights regarding your woman, but they also have rights over you as well. That it goes both ways. You have rights over them, they have rights over you. You have obligations over them, they have obligations over you. The Quran is very clear about this. Now look at the following words. Remember, all the advice in the speech is 111. When it came to riba, there was a lot talked about.
That's what the hadith is. And I came to women, same thing is taking place again. It's saying about women, then it's elaborating. It's going deeper. It says, remember that you have taken them as your wives only under Allah's trust and with the permission of Allah. It didn't just say you took them as your wives. It says you took them as your wife as an amanah, as a trust from Allah. And with the permission of Allah. That is why there is a thing called nikah. Nikah is Allah giving you permission to be with that person. As a side note, Shaytan is going to get you on this. Ask a man if he can give, if a strange woman comes and says, take me out for dinner or lunch, a man will do it. More often than not, he will do it. Even if he's a religious man, he may do it. Because it's tempting. It's fun. It's exciting. It's nice. Makes you feel good. And if you're religious or acting religious, you'll even call it dawah. That's how it is. Because it feels good to be with, especially, a person of the opposite gender that is attractive. It's human nature. That same man, his wife is sick. She says, darling, nicely tell you, can you please bring something from the restaurant? And what the man says, why? Why? What did you do all day at home? What did you do all day at home? She told you she's sick. Did you get it? But no, you have to question her why. Because that $10, understand full well, $10 to spend on haram is very, very easy. $10 that is earned through halal, to spend on halal, it is very, very difficult. It's something to reflect upon. And that girl or that woman that will spend that $10 on that stranger, all she's going to say is, thank you, I'll give you a call. That's all. Your gender doesn't go up. That wife that you buy the halal food for, it makes her happy. It makes your children happy. Wow, what happened to dad today? He really got kind. She is giving you du'as. Children are giving you du'as. And your position is getting bigger and bigger. That's what the hadith is talking about. It says you took your wife under an amanah, under the trust of Allah, with the permission of Allah. If they abide by your rights, then to them belongs their right as well. What right? To be clothed, to be fed, to be taken care of. Thereafter, the hadith continues, do treat your women well and be kind to them, for they are your partners and committed helpers. How more clear do you get than this? As I mentioned, for those of you that are coming late, everything is said in 1 point, 1 point, 1 point. Regarding riba, the hadith went on and on. Regarding the aspect of a woman, it's going on and on, as if to say, I know my men folk, as the Prophet is saying, I know my men folk, they will not get it the first time. And he's saying, they are your committed partners and helpers. Yes, partners make mistakes. Go in any business, partners make mistakes. Helpers make mistakes. Boards make mistakes. Businesses make mistakes. Attorneys make mistakes. Group makes mistakes. It's not unfamiliar to make mistakes. Same thing regarding women. And men, of course. They are going to make mistakes. But the hadith is saying that does not break your partnership. That should not break your commitment. That should still keep you firm and keep you thinking on how you can do a better job. And thereafter, to the women folk, very beautiful advice, and I end up with this. Rasulullah is saying, and it is your right that they do not make friends with anyone of whom you do not approve of. As well as, never be unchaste. So what is Islam saying? Control your woman folk, so that way they don't make friends out there? No. It is saying, guide them to make good friends. Teach your daughters the value of ethics. Teach your daughters, teach your women folk, teach your nieces on how to have good companions out there. Doesn't say don't bring them in the house. And once the companions are good, then good ideas will flow in. My brothers and sisters, I just end up with this point.
There are many marriages that have been broken because the woman will allow the wrong person in the house. Nothing against women, but they have a way of talking. And this is how they'll do it. The stranger comes into the house, they don't care much for you, and they'll say things like, "But the sofa is so old." That's all they'll say. "The sofa is so old." Or they'll come in the house, "How many children you have?" "7. And you live in such a small house. How do you all manage?" That's how they do it. And your wife, she's gone upside down. You know exactly what is happening after that. That's what the hadith is saying. Don't bring the wrong people into your house. Teach your wives the value of bringing good people to the house. Because my brothers and sisters, that wrong person walks into your house, your life is over. It's a reality. And later on, so many women have told me, 5 years after divorce, 10 years after divorce, that one woman that came into my house, she lit the fire. She is still living simple, but my marriage is gone. So inshallah, next week we will continue with the other aspects of this speech of our beloved Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah help us and guide us at all times. Alhamdulillah.